Hi, everybody. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer, and this is first of a mastermind podcast. I'm with my friend and sales expert, the great Mark Steinberg. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
All the way from Wisconsin. They have paved roads out there, do they?
For the cows, they do.
Yeah, exactly. let me explain a little bit about what this podcast is and does. As a mastermind person, I want to make certain that we have input from as many smart experts as humanly possible. Mark has been an expert in the insurance industry for more than 30 years. And the reason that I've asked him to be here is he's risen from insurance salesperson to insurance leader, runs a sales force of a couple hundred people, and has built businesses from a half a million to a billion, which is not bad. And he's done it in what I consider to be the most difficult sale in the world. The most difficult sale in the world, in my opinion, is insurance. And Mark has managed to not only achieve at it, but become a world-class leader at it over the course of the last 15 years. And I want to ask Mark a bunch of things about the insurance sale, but I want you to relate it to your sale. Because Mark is selling the intangible, and I want to try to find out today, is there any tangibility in the intangible sale? Shoot.
Yeah, there is. And the tangibility is in the person that's selling the product for the intangible. And the way that person separates themselves from their competitors and what value they bring to their prospect or to their client. And there's a number of ways of doing that. And those that are successful in the insurance industry figure it out. And they figure it out pretty quickly within the first couple years that they're in the industry. But they certainly look and monitor their competition. And then they look at all the faults within their competition and try not to replicate those. But they establish themselves as experts in the industry, and they do it in a number of different ways. They'll come up with fact sheets about themselves and the services they provide in the industry, risk-based analysis for their prospects or clients. They'll look beyond the obvious, meaning they look beyond the policy and the coverages that are being provided and really inspect the business. Inspection means walk through it, look at the gaps that weren't covered in the policy, point them out to their prospect. But number one, and probably the most important, they absolutely outwork their competitors.
I'm going to give you a subtlety. When they find something that's wrong, a gap, something that's missing, do they say, hey, this is missing and our competition sucks? Or do they say, is this an important gap for you? Do you want this gap filled?
It's a ladder of your example. At least for me, and I try to drive this to all those that work with me in the industry, it never pays to take open shots at your competition. It's just not the way you do business, in my opinion. I think, as you said, you mentioned to your prospect, hey, did you think about this? You think you need coverage for this?
What would happen if you didn't have coverage?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, God forbid, the insurance revolves around God forbid.
Right.
Now, God forbid you have a claim. God forbid somebody dies. God forbid somebody gets in an accident. God forbid your house burns down. Whatever the somebody falls down the steps at your factory at the back door, there's ice that you didn't, you know, move. Those are the things that you have to look at with respect to.
Most people hate insurance. Why do they hate it? Because they're buying it for that catastrophe that's going to happen in the future. And if they're happy and very interested in buying insurance from you, then there's an issue. Right. Then there's a problem.
But as your age advances, like I'm 69, even though I don't look it.
No, you look great.
Thank you. And you happen to be an excellent judge. I'm grateful for insurance because I know that when I pass on, that my family's protected, that there'll be some inheritance for them, that the taxes that I might owe to the federal government or the state government are going to be paid out of whatever the beneficiary monies are, and that it gives me some peace of mind. So I might have hated it 20 years ago when I started to play, but now I'm so grateful I can't stand it.
Yeah, for life, health insurance, and you know the world that I live in the property and casualty insurance, providing insurance for businesses, it's a godsend. And you're really doing something very, very worthwhile and special for not only the person, but for their heirs, as you mentioned. And you're contributing to the economy. You're making certain that it continues to move on when there is a catastrophe, be it a major one like a hurricane or a fire that occurs, or provides benefits for life insurance. And of course, again, health insurance as well.
So when an older person like me gathers up their insurance and tries to figure out who's going to get what, how important is it for that insurance agent to be an advisor, a trusted advisor in the process?
It's critically important. And I would be remiss if I didn't say, as is your lawyer and your CPA as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the third leg of that stool is professional insurance agent that knows their stuff inside and out.
Do you think that the insurance agent gains trust only by knowing this stuff? Or do you think that they gain trust by making a personal connection, creating some kind of rapport?
Well, I can only tell you this using me as an example.
Okay.
My insurance agent that handles my life insurance is my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not my best friend when I moved to Wisconsin from Boston. And he became my best friend. He practiced all those skills that made me select him, not only as my agent, but went beyond and made that personal connection with me.
That's so interesting. It's the same with me. I met this guy on a plane, and we sat across from each other in first class.
Of course.
And I asked him what he did, and he said he's with Northwestern Mutual, whatever.
Which is a great company, by the way.
Yeah. And I said, I just did a seminar for your health insurance division. And we talked about this person that we had in common, Susie Johnson. And then he says, have you ever spoken at the Million Dollar Roundtable? And I said, no, because it's the most prestigious platform that anybody can speak on. And he said, well, I'm on the selection committee. You want to talk? I'm like, hell yeah, I want to talk. And literally within 6 months, this guy who I never knew had me main platform, opening keynote, final day of the conference. And unbelievable. So fast forward 6 months after the event was over, I had no financial plan. And all of a sudden, Walter shows up at my place one day and I go, well, I guess today's the day. I don't really know. But, you know, we sat down on my couch and he asked me the single most powerful question in sales I've ever been asked. He said, Jeffrey, who are your three most trusted advisors? I go, wow. I mean, that's a killer question. And I told him I'd never been asked a question before because I was trying to buy time to think who they were because my dad had already passed on. And I'm thinking about living, and I come up with three. And he said, tell me about each one. And I did. And then he goes all the way to the depth of emotion and says, Jeffrey, tell me how each one became your most trusted advisor. And Mark, by the end of the first story, I was crying. And by the end of the third story, I was mentally writing this guy a check, which I have been writing now for the past 16 years, every month, like clockwork. It's funny, he came over today for something, and I told him that I've never seen him. And we're friends. Even we go out for dinner, I'm always signing something. That I've never hung out with him where he didn't say, oh, by the way, you have to sign this. I'm like, oh my God. So I said, Walter, I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Don't forget to bring a pen. But literally, he's become one of my most trusted advisors over the years. And he's protecting my family. He's protecting my assets. He's protecting my financial life. And I'm in a situation where I trust this guy. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, but I trust this guy. You don't give somebody your financial life without having some kind of trust in them. And I want to know, is that the barrier? Is the barrier between a person saying yes in the insurance business and no in the insurance business to the salesperson, is trust the barrier that they have to overcome?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as we all know, getting to that side where you do trust somebody can take years.
Mm-hmm.
It usually doesn't take weeks. And once you get there, holding on to it is even more challenging.
Yeah, I tell my audiences, it might take you years to gain trust, but you can lose it in 1 second.
Right. Right.
All you have to do is say something not true, and the person finds out it's not true and gone.
Yep.
Yeah, totally gone. The insurance person, not only are they regulated, you know, you have all kinds of compliance issues that you have to deal with. And yet there's a fear of, oh my God, I'm going to do something left of center. But there's also that trusted relationship that they have with people. You're looking with their life's money, their finances for retirement or whatever. And in a shaky world like we live in today, before the customer makes that decision to move forward, there's got to be a lot of risk removed and a lot of trust built. To me, that's the toughness of the sale.
Yeah. And as I said before, the other part of that equation is outworking your competitor,
mm-hmm.
Which means nights that you're sitting across the table or sitting at the restaurant or weekends. But once you establish yourself within the industry, within your community, within your territory, wherever it may be, you don't have to make another cold call,
mm-hmm.
because everything is word of mouth on how good you are. And I've seen it time and time and time again, whether, again, it's the life insurance industry or the property and casualty insurance industry,
mm-hmm.
the very top tier producers, sales associates, whatever their title is, their title really is good friend, trusted advisor.
Yeah. Somebody asked me, I had an insurance company, was a client of mine, and I'm not going to mention their name because it wouldn't be fair to the Hartford for my property and casualty insurance. And I'm sitting here with them to do a big seminar for them. And they said, by the way, who's your insurance with? And I said, John Cantrell. Like, I don't know what company insures me. I only know my agent. And I assume that, you know, he's an independent guy. Okay. So I call him on the phone. I go, John, I put him on speakerphone. I said, who's my property and casualty insurance with? And he said, oh, the Hartford. And these guys were like beaming. It was like the greatest day of their lives that, you know, that they had, that it was a total chance. But it endeared me and endured me for an extended period of time as a result of it.
It's very rare that a consumer in the, especially the property and casualty industry,
knows
who their carrier is.
Yeah.
But they know very, very well who their agent is. And that's the basis of the success of an agent. And it's interesting. There's many, 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 many insurance agents. And there are many, 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 many average insurance agents.
Oh, yeah.
But the ones that excel, the ones that are at the top of the pyramid, first of all, have been there for many, many years, not just a 1 year or 2 year wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, have become part of the family or part of the business family.
Without a doubt.
And it's interesting. I've hired property and casualty insurance agents since 1986. And many of them have maintained the success that they had in the late 80s through the 90s through 2000. And they're innovative from a technology standpoint, from a training standpoint. And when I say training, they train their clients to look for this when their clients are approached by the competition. It's a very interesting dynamic.
The business is very competitive. There's a ton of companies out there that you can, you know, my company's best. No, we're AAA rated. No, mm-hmm. we're quadruple A rated. No, we're, you know, we have 9 A's in front of mm-hmm. our name. It doesn't really matter. It's, do I trust that insurance guy? Yeah. The company, there's no way I can know if they're full of crap or not.
Yep. And the insurance agent, if they're at the top of their game, mm-hmm. They'll make certain that your carrier does have that AM Best A rating, and they are financially sound, and they've been financially sound for X amount of years. They've done all their homework. So when you do have that unfortunate claim, which we all will have, mm-hmm. You're in a very, very good position.
I would want to talk to people, if I'm going to make a decision to buy, it would be based on two things. Number one, my trust and feel good about the insurance agent. Has he lowered my risk factor? Or do I trust him enough to give him money? And number two, I'd like to talk to a half a dozen people that have had claims. What happened? Was it a hassle? Was it a smooth thing? It's never a smooth thing because there's always some kind of tragedy involved. But on a property and casualty basis where somebody fell down or somebody, you know, had an arm caught in a machine or, you know, the things that happened in a property and casualty or workers' comp environment, I'd want to know, was it a pleasant experience? Was it easy to do? Did I get the runaround? Would I have something? Well, now I don't even have to ask that insurance agent. I can go right online and find it. I can Google anything, and in 5 seconds, I can find all the good part of the crap.
At the end of the day, you buy insurance for claims. Mm-hmm. How do they handle their claims? Is it easy? Will they pay? I can tell you, those carriers that are top carriers, you don't need to know their name because their agent has already placed their business, mm-hmm. your business with them.
Yeah, I agree with that because that guy's got a reputation locally. Mm-hmm. And if one person doesn't pay a claim or there's a big hassle with the company, they're going to lose their local reputation, their local word of mouth. And now word of mouth is also word of mouse. And the people are going to go on, you know, if I go to a hotel, I go to TripAdvisor. If I go to a restaurant, I go to Yelp. I want to see what other people have said about how good it is or how mediocre it is or how it was either great or was disappointing. Whatever it is, I can know in advance. I could have never known that 5 years ago. Never. Now, that person's exposed for who they are or who they are not within about 2 seconds. You know, if an insurance agent comes to me and says, let me tell you a little bit about my company, I go, are you kidding me, pal? Do you think that I haven't taken 5 minutes out to look at everything I need to know? Or about you? Do you think I haven't Googled you? Like, tell me something that benefits me that I don't know, and you have a shot at my business. Otherwise, you have to go. I don't need the slide deck from marketing. I just don't, because it's not going to do you or me any good. You could send me that in an email and I would get the same amount of value from it. What I want is insight. So I think that in an intangible sale, the insight of the salesperson is going to be in direct proportion to how trustworthy he or she is perceived, how value-oriented he or she is perceived, and how much risk of mine you can minimize.
I will also say, because this has become a subject discussed at length in the past 5 years, the value of an insurance agent because of the advent of technology and going right online and looking at what the comparisons are among agents and brokers and carriers. But at the end of the day, and this is important, and I don't think people realize, number one, the independent agency force is growing. It's not shrinking. Mm-hmm. It's growing.
In spite of the Geicos. And
yeah,
the
in spite of Progressive, Geico, Nationwide. Mm-hmm. And it's growing because people want that advice from a professional. They can get the pricing and they can look at the, you know, the fancy advertisements and communication pieces. But at the end of the day, they need somebody that they can rely on that can read the coverage forms and know where there's a potential for a gap or a shortfall in their coverage. They need that, especially in the complexity of our society today. And again, that's driven by the advent of technology and social media. I don't think people realize that in their homeowners insurance, they could be sued if one of their kids is on Twitter or on Snapchat and says something derogatory about one of his friends. They can be sued.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so, and you know, 5 years ago, no one even knew what those things meant for the most part.
Most adults still don't.
Yeah, exactly. So you need a trusted advisor. You need someone to, you know, get under the sheets, so to speak, and look at the coverages and make certain that you are properly covered, whether it's from a homeowner standpoint, from a life insurance standpoint, or again, from a property and casualty standpoint.
A friend of mine was in an automobile accident recently and went to rent a car, and it turns out that their insurance didn't cover car rental for an extra buck a month because the insurance agent was trying to lower the price to get the person to buy the lowest price policy and didn't have enough moxie to say to the customer, listen, there's certain things you have to have in this policy and you have to pay for that. And if you don't, if you hit the God forbid factor where your car hits a wall, you're going to be walking for a month. And why would you want to do that for $2? And that, to me, that's the guy I want. That is totally the guy that
absolutely.
I want. Yeah. Absolutely. So anyway, I think that we've done enough here to talk to you about tangible, intangible, tough sale of insurance. You all own insurance, don't you? Oh, sure you do. Do you love your insurance agent? Do you trust your insurance agent? Or is that insurance agent vulnerable to be eliminated? That's the real question. The guy who's going to sell me insurance for the last 20 years literally has helped me create my legacy. Because I have peace of mind now that I know that whatever my demise will literally still live on, because my kids will have enough to be able to promulgate my brand. My business will stay on. I won't be able to write anything new, but I certainly have enough to be able to create legacy for myself. And you're in this business now for 30 years. I hate to tell you, 35 years. You have to create your own legacy, don't you? Don't you have to have that sort of living legacy that says, hey, look at all the people that I've helped. I know my guy had literally created a legacy. He was telling me today he's in second generation with half of his customers now. Started with the dad, and now the kid's 30 years old.
That's great.
So what are you looking at from a standpoint of legacy? What do you think is your...
My legacy is that I was able, starting in the mid-80s, to hire, train, work with some of the best insurance professionals in the property and casualty industry that are still at the top of their game.
Oh, cool.
And they have provided trusted advice and have been in the line of fire when catastrophes occur with their clients, some for 25 years. And they've allowed those clients to continue in their businesses, and their clients' children and their children's children. There's multi-generational businesses that agents that I've worked with provide insurance for, businesses of all kinds throughout the world, not just the country. So that, and from a business standpoint, is my legacy. And I've loved every minute of it. I have.
I'm going to challenge you off the microphone. We're going to have several more discussions about this. But I think that it's time in every person's life, when you reach a point where you've been doing something for 30 years, it's time to document it. It's time to document what it's meant, how it's helped, advice that you can give to other people, so that when you leave the industry, not necessarily the earth, but leave the industry, that somebody can come up and say, Mark Steinberg's thinks this. Mark Steinberg said this, and he's a leader. Mm-hmm. He's a legendary guy in the business, and this is his leave behind to say, I've done it, and now I'm going to help you guys do it.
Okay. I'm up for that challenge.
Okay, cool. In the meantime, if you're looking to join my mastermind group, depending upon when you hear this, the deadline is July 31st. It's going to be amazing stuff like this. And this is just a side conversation. The mastermind itself will be 12 people that sit around a room and talk about all of their needs, subject by subject. I will be the facilitator. And you, if you decide to sign up, will be the benefactor. Go to my website, gitomer.com, G-I-T-O-M-E-R.com, and you'll hunt around there and you'll find something for Mastermind. You can click on it and I'll look to see you there. Thanks. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. It's great.